Well, let us turn our Bible to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We continue with the faith of Abraham, Genesis chapter 21. Our meditation will be from verses 22 to 34. Genesis 21, 22 to 34. Follow me as I read this passage from Genesis chapter 21, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who had done this thing, neither did thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen, and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they sware both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol and the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. May God bless us in the reading of his holy and precious word. The last time we have seen how Abraham removed the hindrances to God's will. He had to send Ishmael away because Ishmael served as a serious threat to Isaac. And then from the way he mocked at Isaac, he spelled great danger, and Sarah saw it. If Ishmael is to continue to stay within the household, Isaac's life will be in danger. Now it is more than just solving a domestic problem within the household. God's plan of salvation might be destroyed if Ishmael were to succeed in replacing Isaac to possess Abraham's inheritance. So it has a global effect. The plan of salvation which God has given to man as promised to Abraham must come to pass. Nothing could be done to go against God's will. So all hindrances must be removed. And so Abraham had no other way but to send Ishmael away. And under God's instruction, he sent both Ishmael and his mother with some bread and a bottle of water. Well, that may seem harsh on the part of Abraham, because how can he, as a loving father, remember how he was so grieved in his heart when Sarah complained about Ishmael. And so he was filled with love for his son Ishmael. And so how can he send him away with just bread and water? He could have very much given him sheep, goats, servant to take care of them along the way.
as he sent them away. But they received nothing from Abraham except some bread and water. Now that was Abraham's message to Ishmael for what he has done to Isaac. Because Isaac is God's promised seed to Abraham. And nothing can change that. Not even Ishmael. And so Ishmael had to realize that he is not the promised seed, but Isaac. And so receiving just bread and water is the way Abraham disciplined his son Ishmael. Because Abraham could have given them nothing. Just send them away as a form of punishment. But out of love, he gave them bread and water. And so the hindrances to God's will must be removed. Now for us, it is pride. It is covetousness. It is the kind of lies and deception that we use our mouth to sin against God. And they serve as a hindrance to God's will, which all must be removed away from us. Now these are all quite straightforward. We know it. But for that which is not so straightforward, what about the many circumstances of our life as a student? If our studies affect our walk with God, does it mean that therefore we have to stop studying? Well, maybe a law student will be very happy if I were to say, you must remove your studies away from your life. But that would be an excuse, isn't it? The hindrance to God's will, must be exercised wisely. And so in the case of study being so-called a hindrance to our walk with God. So what must we do? Now more often than not, we put our studies above God. That's why it becomes a hindrance. And so the way to go about it is to put God above our studies. So those studies put in the biblical right perspective can enable us to do that which is well-pleasing in the eyes of God. And that goes for our work. If we put our work above God, well, that would also serve as a hindrance. And what is the solution? The solution may not always be the removal of our job, but that's a change of your priority. You just have to put God first. Your job comes second. Everything else will be second. God must always be first. And so this is how we overcome and to remove the hindrances that affects our walk with God, affects the will of God to be accomplished in our life. Now, while removing hindrances can help us obey God and His will better, making peace with one another at home, in school, and at work can also help us to obey God and fulfill His will better. And that will be what we are going to look at as we continue with the rest of chapter 21, okay, verses 22 to 34. Now, I divided this passage into three parts. Now, first, from verses 22 to 24, we see the peace desired. Okay, 22 to 24, the peace desired. And then, from verses 25 to 31, we see the peace established. And then finally, verses 32 to 34, the peace enjoyed. Okay, so that will be the three main points that we will look at this afternoon. Now first we look at the peace desired. Now Abraham's faith and life for God continue to shine wherever he goes. Even the heathen recognize God's presence in Abraham's life. So how can they tell? Well, they can only tell from the external. And so from the external, they saw Abraham's great wealth. And not only that, how can he survive in this land of Canaan, filled with hostility, filled with dangers? No, he's not traveling in a land that is promised to him, with great security. that everywhere there will be protection, CCTV anywhere, so that no form of terrorism will come near us. Now, we're not living in that kind of environment like us today. We thank God for Singapore, really well protected. We have policemen patrolling on our streets. And so we feel very safe. But not at the time of Abraham. If you want to be saved, S-A-F-E, well, the normal thing that a traveler would do would be quickly find a city that has a wall to protect them. But for Abraham, his only protection is from God. And he is to travel from place to place as the Spirit leads him. In the land of Canaan, filled with danger. And so it was in such, how he survived, in this great hostility, that Abimelech, king of Gerar from the land of Philistine, came to Abraham. So we read in verse 22, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now, if Abimelech is an unbeliever, that there is no indication that shows that he is a believer. And so we take him as an unbeliever. But how did an unbeliever like Abimelech know that God is with Abraham? Now, you know the account in Genesis. You remember in Genesis chapter 20, how Abimelech took Sarah to be his wife, away from Abraham, because he thought that Sarah is his sister. And that was what was known to him, out of ignorance. Actually took him to wife, because he paid the dowry to Abraham. And then Abraham accepted it. So on the part of Abimelech, he had done nothing wrong, because he thought that Sarah is available, not married to any man, and Abraham is her brother. But God stopped him. God intervened, appeared to him in the dream, and then told him everything. Not to take Sarah as his wife, but to return Sarah to Abraham, because Abraham is the lawful husband of her. And so that was Abimelech's encounter with Abraham. Not a very good encounter. And so after Abimelech sent Abraham away, after rebuking him, he sent him away. Never to want to see him again before his eyes. But he was still aware of Abraham's movement in the land of Canaan. If not, verse 22 will not state to us what has happened. Now, Abimelech may probably send spies to report whatever happened to Abraham. That was how he was able to conclude that God is with Abraham in all that he was doing. And he must have heard how Abraham saved his nephew Lot from the four powerful kings. Now, that alone speaks greatly of Abraham. Because Abraham had only 318 servants, but somehow they were all trained, able to fight against the even more powerful nation, not just one, but four kings, and defeated them soundly. And these four kings in the wilderness are ruthless kings, cruel, tyrants, barbarians, evil, and yet powerful. And so Abraham was able to survive, and not only survive, but was in a way invincible, great in power, without any land to his name. Abraham continued to grow in his wealth and possession. Now, how can this be possible? If not for God being with Abraham, Abraham could have perished long ago. And so it is a miracle. It is a supernatural work that even a heathen would recognize. And that's why in verse 22, Abimelech says, God is with thee in all that thou doest. And he himself had encounter with Abraham God in a dream. And so he knows the power of God. And he also knows that Abraham feared God. Well, that's why when we come to verse 23, why did he come to Abraham? Well, it's because he wanted to make peace with him. And so he came together with his general, Pico, his right-hand man. Well, by bringing his general, show his sincerity, and also recognizing Abraham's power, that God is behind him. And even with such presence, you know, he and the king and the general who come together, you know, it's really significant because it shows that Abraham is greater than them. And of course, behind him is all because of God's work, God's power that is filling Abraham to do the work. And so what a testimony that Abraham is bearing. No, whether knowingly or unknowingly. This is a testimony that Abimelech says, no, that God is with you in all that you are doing. And so I'm not going to go against you. I'm not going to fight against you. I want to make peace with you. And so they proposed to make peace with Abraham. And Abraham also desired to make peace with them. No, it was not wrong for him to desire and to make peace with even these unbelievers. Well, as long as he did not compromise his faith. As long as he is not counting on them for protection. He still looked to God for protection. He still looked to God to provide for all his needs. And so living in peace with one another, okay, does not equate to compromising our faith. Now let us note the request by Abimelech to Abraham in verse 23. He says that, now therefore swear unto me here, by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. Now Abraham is called by Abimelech to swear by his God. Why? Well, for Abraham to swear by his God would add weight to Abimelech's confidence. Now in Abraham alone, Abimelech has no confidence. Because he had his experience with him, how he had been deceived by him and not telling him the truth. He almost died because God said to him, you are almost a dead man. Well, if not for God appearing him to intervene, Abimelech would have died already. And so Abimelech knew that God must be in the picture. And so he wants Abraham to swear by his God. But to swear by God's name would mean business. And there would be serious consequences if Abraham himself were to break the agreement. When the agreement is made in the name of God, there will be serious consequences. And so this peace covenant is important to Abimelech. And he wanted even the generation to come after him be found at peace with Abraham and his descendants. Abraham agreed, because in verse 24, he says, I will swear. Well, I believe Abraham also desired peace with Abimelech. And no one desires to be found in a land that is dangerous and every step taken is like a time bomb. No one would like that to happen to him or her. Okay, so Abraham desired this peace so that he may enjoy the peace that he can continue to worship God, that he can continue to be led by God in obedience to his will as he sojourned in the land of Canaan. And though in the same way, we thank God for the peace that we can enjoy right here in Singapore. And we desire such a peace because it enables us to be able to worship God in peace without any disturbances outside. Of course, if it happens, so be it. But when God allows peace to dwell in this land, let us not take for granted. It is our privilege so that we may enjoy the peace right now. Now, so verbally, Abraham swore, because he said, I will swear. But the peace covenant between them will not be established until the eating of the meal. And so from verses 25 to 31, we will see the peace being established. Now, apparently there was an issue between Abraham and Abimelech's servant. Okay, so in verse 25, we see Abraham raising up an issue with Abimelech. Verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. Now the word reprove means to correct, okay, or to make right again. Well, that's a well of water. Why did Abraham have to reprove, have to correct Abimelech? So serious. Now there are two raining seasons, or two seasons in the land of Israel, known as the former and the latter rain, okay, which come according to the season. Now in the season where there are no rain in between, but oftentimes the well is the only source of water, okay, to irrigate the plant, or the only source of water for people as well as for the animals to drink. And so Abraham was very concerned about this well of water than any other part of the covenant that he's going to make, going to establish with Abimelech. Now the well issue will be a continued problem if it is not solved now. And Abimelech must ensure his servant will not touch the well again. And this concerned the survival of Abraham and his family and all that are in his household. And so Abraham must solve this problem right now with Abimelech. And he solved it with a reproof, in a very angry manner. Why? Because he was serious about it. He wanted to resolve the well issue with Abimelech before the peace covenant between them was complete. Now it was wise of Abraham to make this move for the purpose to prevent future problems. Not only future problems, but also concern their survival. And so in the end, he offered additional gift of 7 female lambs, but as a witness, you know, when he made the covenant with Abimelech. Now, why did Abraham want to go to such measure? Not only just reprove Abimelech, you know, for his servant doing such a thing, because this well was built by him and his servant, and now Abimelech's servants are trying to usurp the well. And so we can see that in those days, you know, the well of water is very precious. Well, you have water, especially in the dry season. And Abraham needed this well of water for his own survival, for his own family. Salvation for man would also be easily affected. And so to make peace with Abimelech in this regard is most necessary. Abraham wanted to avoid future problems that will happen. Now Abimelech resorted to ignorance, okay, because he said he doesn't know what happened to the well. No, how come his servants are taking the well? And even blame Abraham for not telling him. Now, how can this be? If Sarah, who is a beautiful woman, entered into his land, and he took notice straight away, what is this well which his own men are quarreling about? Surely Abimelech must have known. But Abraham was not taking him to task for this. No, he's not picking him on this. How can you not know? Well, you want to resolve the matter. You want to resolve the issue. That truly this well belonged to Abraham, not Abimelech. And you want to solve it once and for all, so that there will be no more future problems that will arise. Because it involved the survival of Abraham and his own household. And that may also happen in the generation to come. To know for sure that this well belonged to Abraham and his descendant, and not Abimelech and his descendant. And so the seven female lambs act as a witness. And they are living. Living lamb act as a witness. And so Abimelech will have no excuse not to know anymore. And even for his own descendant, they must be taught, they must be make known that this well does not belong to them, but belong to Abraham and his descendants. And that is part of the covenant which they made. Well, as we make peace with unbelievers at home, in school or at workplace, what should we do? Well, it does not mean that we should keep quiet when something wrong is going on. We must speak up. Okay, when perhaps someone is being bullied. So nowadays, bullying is very common. Not only in classroom, not only in school, but also at workplace. Or perhaps even in church, there may be bullying cases happening. So when we see such bullying cases, what do? Do we just keep quiet because we want to make peace? No, we must speak up. When we speak up tactfully. We speak up in love. We speak up the truth. Well, we do not harbor the kind of attitude, "Oh, this is not my business. Why should I care?" Or let sin go unhindered. "This is not my problem. Never mind." Now, such testimony will not be found pleasing to God. Such a testimony may reveal that we are ashamed to speak up for the truth. And so it could very well, when the time comes for us to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we may just shy away. We may just hide ourselves. Or we may just deny the Lord outrightly. So that could happen to us if we do not have this attitude of speaking up the truth. Even for that matter, to uphold the truth at all times. Now, you may be peaceful when you keep quiet, but such peace is not what God desired for us. God, to make peace is to speak up. To solve whatever problem and not just left unattended. To resolve the matter at hand once and for all. And for Abraham, it has a much deeper implication. If we should keep quiet and not resolve the matter with Abimelech, what will happen? Well, future problems will come in and will threaten the messianic line, and the plan of God's salvation for mankind will be affected. And so thank God that Abraham resolved this problem, as he established the covenant with Abimelech. And so with the peace covenant in place, well, the well will continue to supply water for Abraham and his descendants safely for the next generation. And in verse 32, we read, "Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistine. And so all are happy with this covenant and agreement. And so once the peace covenant is established, well, they return home happily. And so peace established. And next will be the enjoyment of peace from verses 32 to 34. Verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Now Abraham called on the Lord because of the blessing of peace he is enjoying within his family, as well as the people outside, not within the land of Canaan. Abraham did not forget that God is the one who gave him the peace. He is not dependable upon the peace covenant. He is dependent on God. God is the one who grant him the peace and the rest to be possible for him. And Abraham must continue to walk by faith and not by sight. He cannot be, you know, keep showing the agreement, the covenant everywhere he goes as proof of this peace covenant. That's why he is entitled to enjoy this peace in the land. No, his trust must still be in God and him alone. And so therefore, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord. Well, the grove will signify the continuity of the covenant which God made with Abraham together with his descendant. Now this grove is a tree, a growing tree, a living tree. And will continue to stand for the generation to come after Abraham. And then for the first time, Abraham called God the everlasting God. Abraham knew that he is not the everlasting man. He's going to live till the promise is fulfilled in his lifetime. The promise of the Messianic seed. It will happen, but Abraham will not be able to see in his lifetime. He is not everlasting, but God is everlasting. Abraham will die one day, and his descendant will take over. However, God is everlasting to everlasting. And Abraham believed that God will keep his covenant that he made with Abraham and will be descended from generation to generation. All this acknowledgement of God as the everlasting God is a powerful testimony. It's how by faith that Abraham believed in him. And we need to believe in this God who is everlasting as well. No, our life on earth is not forever. The time may come, and the time will come that God will call us home to glory. And so when that day comes, are we prepared? Are we prepared to go? And when we go, and as we look back, will there be any regret? And to call God the everlasting God is to live our life right now in light of the eternity. We wish to dwell with God for eternity. Forever and ever. We will not want to waste any more time that God has given to us right now. Whether you are in school or at work, or whether you are at home, just a housewife, the time that God has given to you, it to be spent meaningfully, all for His eternal glory. You know, the past few weeks, there have been many funerals, religious services that we have attended, and my own cousin have just recently passed away, 3 days ago. Although what is life? Well, life is even a vapor. But soon it shall fly away. You know, just as a breath as we breathe into the mirror. Very soon it will be gone. And that's our life. But this life can be made most meaningful. And especially when we have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that all our sins are all forgiven. And we are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so now we are living in light of the eternity to come. But there are still many who are still outside God's kingdom. And in our passage today, we are to make peace with these unbelievers surrounding us as a testimony to them. Yes, we are not going to compromise our faith. There may be times that we may have our relationship soured because of our faith. But we are not out to cause trouble. We are not out to irritate one another and to cause wars and conflicts in our midst. And so we must be like Abraham. Make peace as a way of testimony. So that when we serve as God's holy witnesses, that others may be able to see the God of our life, just as Abimelech has seen the God of Abraham, who is the source of Abraham's faith. Well, will we have such a testimony to bear? You know, when we make peace with the people in our class, in our workplace, well, we show forth this loving spirit, the joy of salvation, that we are the sons and daughters of God who loved us, who gave us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may also be interested in our Savior. How is it that we all go through the same thing, struggling in the company, suffering under difficult circumstances, maybe being under pressure to produce the project to be submitted for the deadline, or under pressure, but hey, how is it that you are able to respond in such a demeanor? You know, that you have no complaint, that you just do your best, that you just give in your hard work. I want to know the God that you believe. There might be something unique in you. There might be something that God has changed you. I want to know your God. What has caused this drastic change? And no matter what happens, you still go to church. No matter what happens, you still do your quiet time. But what is it that has changed you, that caused you to live your life so differently from us? Why will we bear such a testimony? Or even the coming Chinese New Year. So there will be low hay, there will be gambling activities as we go from home to home, especially in the unbelievers' home. Will they see a change in us? A different us because we are believers, we are Christians? Or do we join together with them as if we are part of them? No, if we join with them, then there will be no testimony to bear. Even when we share Christ, they will not see the difference. They will not want to come to know the Christ whom we believe. See, they make no difference. They also continue to live their life, and we also continue to live our own. And we are no different. But if we stand for our faith, if we make known the God in our life, of course there's no need to make war. We can make peace. And out of this making peace, the way we behave, well, we will not join with them in their gambling activities. But we will come with our ang pao track. Okay, we want to share the gospel. We want to testify the God's the blessing that comes from God. Not a blessing that is out of sheer luck. Because in gambling, there will be those who will win, there will be those who will lose. In fact, there are more losers than winners. And our lives are not to be lived in such. Because we have God who is above us, our God of blessing. He is the source of all blessing. We believe in Him. We live for Him. Well, this is what our unsaved loved ones need to know. And what a wonderful thought it will be, you know, to be able to witness for the Lord, and then for them to come to salvation and have all their sins forgiven in this Chinese New Year. Because when all your sins are forgiven, you have the perfect peace with God. Because through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the peace with God. And when you have this peace with God, you have a relationship that is restored. And when that is done, God wants you to have His peace. The peace of God that will pass, well, that will enable us to have all understanding in life, that even that which is happening to us, we will not complain. We will not give up. But we will press on all the way to the end. And so there is peace in our heart for sure. And this is more important than anything else, to comfort our hearts in for such a time as this. So come to Christ if you desire the everlasting peace. He is the Prince of Peace who promises you the peace that the world can never give. And so as we make peace, you know, the so-called peace with unbelievers, we want to introduce to them the Prince of Peace that can save them, that can deliver them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And so may the Lord help us, God, to be more like the Master in our life for His eternal glory. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for calling us to be Thy children, the children of the light, even in the midst of the great spiritual darkness in this world that we are living in. And Lord, we pray that we will be strong in the Lord and to keep remembering Thy word so that we may shine for Thee and that others may be able to see the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and even the communion of the Holy Spirit abiding in us, in our words, in our life, that in all that we do, that they may be driven to the Savior for salvation. Help us, O God, and we commit all this unto Thy loving hand, that truly we may enjoy the peace that Thou hast given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may have the peace of God abiding in us, not to give up easily the trials of life, but to press on all the way to the end. Help us, O God, and we commit all this unto Thy loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.